be honest, I caught some fairly significant attitude from people at the end of the service last week. Now, some of you are giggling because you know exactly what I'm talking about. The rest of you weren't here. And so you just exposed yourselves. Okay, so I tell a story last week about meeting together with a friend of mine who is a pastor of another church, and he told me about a particular practice they have in their church worship tradition. And I had heard about it before a little bit, but I'd never paid much attention to it. And as he talked about it, I'm listening to him tell, and the beauty and the simplicity of what they do really captured me, and I went back and I studied more about it. Now, what was interesting is that he didn't make a big deal out of it. As a matter of fact, he said back to me, you know, it's really, in our church, it's kind of turned into this kind of boring ritual that nobody really gets into as much as they should. You know, he's not talking about it. I'm captured by it, and he's talking about it in a particular way. And for some of you who come out of different church traditions, and look, we understand this about Northpointe. We are kind of this gathering spot for people who used to be somewhere else and in some other tradition. And I love that about being here. Some of you will know what I'm talking about right now, and you'll go, what, you've never heard of that? Well, don't judge me, okay? You know, I'm only 62. I haven't been around nearly enough. But what they practice is a thing called passing the peace. Okay, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? There's a few of you who have heard of that before. The rest of us are going, that even sounds weird. Okay? Just what that would look like. And what it is I would say our version of that, or at least in my tradition, would be the turn and greet your neighbor. Yeah. Okay? Which is something we shot dead a number of years ago, and now we just kick it when it's laying there. Okay, we don't do that. I mean, we've had people threaten to leave Northpointe. Don't you dare do that. Okay, we're gone. You know, it conjures up these old, awful memories of something or other. Well, in some of the other churches that do this thing called passing of the peace, it is similar, but what it is where you are given words to say to each other. And so the pastor or the priest, because it really did start in the Catholic Church, would get to a certain spot, sometimes at the beginning, sometimes at the end, sometimes in the middle, it kind of varies, and he would say these words, "May the peace of Christ be with you." And then people would respond all together, "And also with you." Okay, we who don't come from a liturgical background, we find that to be fairly foreign, you know, to have that kind of strict way of responding to people. But in his church and in many others, the people are then released for 5 minutes or 10 or however long it is to go and greet each other in the service. And they are to greet each other by going up to people and saying, "May the peace of Christ be with you." And they shake hands, and the other person would say, "And also with you." And I had never been part of a fellowship that did anything like that. But Catholics and Episcopals and Anglicans and Methodists and Lutherans and Presbyterians, people who generally come out of the mainline denominations, this is something that many of them have grown up with, and it's a practice of the church that dates back, honestly, historically, there is evidence that it goes back to the first century church. It is absolutely fascinating to me. In the early church, this peace that was offered to one another, the passing of the peace of Christ to another person, in the early church, it often assured the early believers, who often met in secrecy, because of the oppression of the Roman government in those days, it assured them that they could hold on to each other and face this persecution together. Oh, yeah. See, it has some substance to it. It isn't just, you know, our greeting time that is, hey, how about those Cowboys? Which is what greetings often degenerate into, even in church. It also declared that this presence of Christ in their fellowship, it allowed them in that moment to lay down their differences and be reconciled to each other. In this moment, they would look at each other, and as they passed the peace of Christ to each other, they were saying, in effect, all of those things that divide us no longer divide us now, because Christ has made peace between us. You can see why it was fascinating to me as I heard about this practice for the first time. You see, since the beginning of time, hundreds of millions of people have died in war. We can't even fathom. The numbers could be in the billions upon billions of people who have died in war because of no peace. There's never been a time in history where there's not been a war going on somewhere because people could not get along. At best, peace is fleeting. We all struggle to get along with each other. Look, if we just drop our guard, we would admit that. Every one of us have struggles getting along with somebody else somewhere. Everything in every relationship is fragile. Even at a personal level, sometimes these days it feels like there is no peace. Our world at large is full of chaos and violence. And God's Word says there is an answer. Now, a number of weeks ago we kind of looked at rethinking peace, and so we're gonna follow up today and look at just a different angle of it. And so I'm not going to go back and reteach on some things. I'll assume that you know some things. But I want you to look at just a couple of passages about what the Bible says. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, and in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." When we come to God by faith in Christ, we are no longer enemies of God. That's the verbiage that's used in the Bible. We are at peace with God. We are no longer at war with God. Before we knew Christ, we were at war with God. Now, we may not have been openly hostile, but we were still at war. We were still enemies of God. But through Christ, we are no longer in conflict with God. And the inference is that we are no longer in conflict with others, because this peace has overwhelmed us. It has changed us. No longer enemies. We can see a further kind of expansion of that when we read what Paul wrote to the Philippians about peace. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And somehow through that transaction, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The act of surrendering and humbling ourselves and submitting to the greatness of God as we pray to Him about those things that weigh heavy on our hearts The peace of Christ is ours. And that peace transcends anything that we can adequately understand. This is like phenomenal. There is a peace, a calm, a confidence, a contentment, a level of personal satisfaction that exists in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a world where there are not answers, there is only frustration. However you want to look at it, regardless of circumstances, the peace of Christ exists for those who are at peace with God. And that is beyond understanding. And it can be ours. Now, like I said, a number of weeks ago, we studied through this for a while. And I'm going to move on to what do we do with it? Jesus said at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount some amazing words about who we are, who we are to be as followers of Christ. And it's at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a spot where we generally call the Beatitudes. But he said this, these simple words: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Peacemakers. This peace that we have, this peace that I hope you have, is not a gift that we keep. It's not a gift that we hoard. It's not a gift that we hold on to and use before we go to bed at night and when we get up in the morning. This peace that we have been given by God is meant to be given away. It's meant to be given to others. I believe with my whole heart that peacemaking is the fundamental calling of all the sons and daughters of God. It's the only place where sons or children of God are defined in this way in Scripture. Where blessing comes to the sons and daughters of God when we make peace, when we become people of peace. Peacemakers is who we are. Being peacemakers is to be the fundamental character that we have. It is our fabric. It is what makes us tick. Is making peace wherever we go. Our Lord and Savior was born into the world as the Prince of Peace. The one who we follow is the one who defines who we are. That's why it is so easy for Him to look at each one of us and say, "Blessed are you and you and you and me," when we become peacemakers wherever we go. Peacemakers are unlike anything that we know in this world. Peacemakers are a strange lot. They're made fun of and they're persecuted. They certainly don't rank high on popularity. No, not these days. And what's interesting is that when Jesus refers to the sons and daughters of God as peacemakers, He's not referring to statesmen, no matter how good they are at working out peace. He's not referring to diplomats. He's not referring to arbitrators that are paid big money to take opposing sides and find some compromise. That's not who He's referring to. He's not referring to kings or presidents or Nobel Peace Prize winners or ambassadors to other countries. No. He's referring to us. Just us. We are the peacemakers in the world. He's not referring to organizations like the League of Nations or the UN or the Peace Corps, as good as those things may be. He's simply talking about followers. His own followers. We are the peacemakers. He's talking to you and me. So peacemaking will be the normal occupation for those who have come to know the peace of Christ. It's a fairly simple equation. Look, I don't do marriage and family and relationship counseling. I don't do marriage and family and relationship reconciling because I'm a minister. I do it because I'm a follower of Christ. I do it because I'm compelled to help people live in peace. It's my calling. It's my nature. I would like to say that it is your calling and your nature also. Bringing peace wherever there are relationships. A peacemaker is someone who is actively working to help people become right with God and right with each other. It's a fairly simple definition. It starts closest to home. It starts in our own little nuclear group that we duke it out with every day. The follower of Christ in that family unit is to be a peacemaker. All the time. There's no time off. You don't get to be in the middle of a family dispute of some kind and go, time out. I'm not going to be making peace right now. I'm going to be stirring it up. We'll get back to peace later. Okay? That's not our prerogative. We are peacemakers. Every moment of every day. In every situation, all the time. And it starts at home, in the most intimate relationships we have, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, in our relationships with our own parents. Yeah. Our brothers and sisters, followers of Christ, are peacemakers. And then it's extended on beyond that. Onto friends, and relationships at work, and the neighbor across the street, or the neighbor next door. There is, for the follower of Christ, there is no one, there is no group, there is no set of circumstances where we are not called to be the peacemakers in the midst of that. We are peacemakers. That is who we are. And it extends beyond just those in our close proximity. It extends to people in our church family, at our job, our teams, our classes, our co-workers, everybody that we are around. And then it extends beyond the here and now, beyond this space, to as far as humanity exists. The follower of Christ is known as the one who brings peace. So I ask you the question. Are you bringing people together or pulling them apart with your life? It's a simple question. It's incredibly uncomfortable. But what are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with the calling that is yours? I'm telling you, we need desperately in this day to face the challenge of this beatitude, to step up to the calling that Jesus has laid on us. Peacemaking is not easy business. It's costly. It's time consuming. It is often painful. Peacemaking is emotionally exhausting. You know that. Sometimes it's just easier to put up a wall and walk away. But that is not the way of Christ. It never was. Peacemakers will often be the most misunderstood people around because nobody gets it. People don't get it. Why aren't you fighting? Why aren't you fighting for what you believe in? Well, when I'm asked that question, I go, I am. I'm fighting for all that I'm worth because I believe in peace. And I believe that that's what Jesus died on the cross to do, to break down dividing walls of hostility between people. First, the Jews and the Greeks in the first century, all the way to now. We are called to go as peacemakers, reconciling people, intervening in conflict. Yeah. We go, it's none of my business. If they want to act, it's none of my business what they're doing. You don't want to know something? On some level, it is. If you're a son or a daughter of Christ, we intervene in conflict. Look, I'm not suggesting we go all crazy on this. I don't want to be doing funerals, okay, prematurely. All right? But we do. We intervene. We unite. We are, more than anybody else on the face of the earth, we are to be known as listeners, not talkers. We umpire. We resolve. We help mediate. Doing what we can to end conflict and violence in our own homes, among our friends, and beyond. We bind up wounds. We are the people, the children of God, who bring peace into every interaction that we are called into. Look, I'm no idiot most times. It's a pretty sticky world out there these days, don't you think? But when I read my Bible, when I listen to the words of Christ, I can't get away from the fact that being peacemakers is our job. There's no loophole on this one. There's no conditional clause somewhere at the end of the Bible that gives a certain number of us an exemption from being peacemakers. It's all of us, all of the time. It's who we are. So, friend to friend here. It's time. It's past time. It may be time for you to pick up your cell phone and make that call that you've been avoiding. This is that part of the service where you're going to walk out and go, how does he know? Okay? It may be time to pick up the phone and make the call and start the process of making peace. I don't know with who. It may be time now to write the email, to write the letter. It may be the time right now for you to go make some food in your kitchen and package it up and go knock on a door and say, I'm bringing a peace offering right now. You see, the Prince of Peace would do that, wouldn't he? How about his sons and daughters? Maybe it's time to bring peace. Maybe it's time to spend some money to make some peace. Maybe it's time for our hands and our feet to be put to work for others, to go to a friend in pain, bring peace. Use our ears to hear the cry of the wounded, to use our words. I don't know what your path is, but you do, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you are at peace with God, we then move to peace towards others, whether it be personal or helping others make that peace.